nightmare trying to get those things back because, you know, we had
you had a couple floods like over the years and stuff like
we
that.
We had one major one, which you can see up to that line, up to that gray line.
Yeah.
That's how high the water was.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Was it just bad plumbing or was it like...
There's a creek around back.
Oh, shit.
And there's
okay,
a new Dollar General going in down here. They diverted the water.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay,
we
gotcha.
We can't prove it, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
I'll cut
like,
all this out.
It's science. You know, you can just be like, okay, it's coming from here, here, and here. Yeah.
Exactly. And it all ended up in here.
When it rains really, really heavy, like our driveway's on a downhill into our garage, and we don't really have like a French drain or anything like that. So when it rains like really, really hard for a number of days in a row, like it'll start to get in the basement and stuff like that. We've been lucky recently because we've sort of dug something where it kind of like diverts it away from the garage. But for a while, it was like, you know, so muddied up and everything like that, the water would just go straight into the basement and everything like, or straight into the garage and then kind of trickle into the basement a little bit. So
yeah.
I definitely feel it.
Yeah, the back door, there's a piece of, I don't know, I mean, this building was built in the 20s.
Yeah.
The 1920s, let's be specific.
Yeah.
It was built and they just kind of threw stuff together and there's a concrete pad back there, but where it's grown up, it's inclined into the door.
Right.
So any water that comes in, straight into the door. And I'm like, oh, that's going to change.
Yeah, got to fix that.
Yeah, so next thing on the bucket list is a French drain.
Hell yeah. Got to love French drains.
French drains. Everything French. French drains, French maids.
French fries, French toast.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're like halfway into this interview, and I have not introduced my guest.
Hey, this is Stevie from Wicked Smile. I want you to do something for me. You're going to go up to your stereo. You're going to turn it up. I mean loud, really loud. This is our new single. It's called Last Goodbye.
You're Your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Mr. Joe Warren from The Masquerade, where you know him best, but he is also other things.
Yeah, no, thank you, Wes. I appreciate you inviting me on here. My name is Joe. I'm a promoter in the music Georgia music community, so I've been involved with the bands from Georgia for years and years and years, just kind of booking them, watching them grow, promoting them, and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a journey for sure.
Sure is good to see them grow, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
See these bands that are just like, man, these guys are going to be huge, and next thing you know, they're headlining.
Yeah, and it's just a strong community too. Like any genre you can possibly think of, there's a band, you know, from that genre that's starting to like break out. Whether it's like pop or pop punk or metal or, you know, whatever, any of the genre you can think of, there's definitely a handful of artists that are like starting to break out from that sort of like community or whatever, and it's really cool and starting to like, you know, break out into the national spectrum and everything like that. So it's definitely really cool to see.
Nice. So what have you got going on? We'll start with The Masquerade, since, you know, that's what we're about is music. So we'll start
there.
Yeah,
no, totally. I mean, recently everything's been really, really good as far as just, you know, music in general, it seems, you know, because obviously we had to deal with COVID last year and everything came to a complete halt. Yep. So definitely took my world for a little bit of a spin trying to figure out what to do and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's kind of crazy because, like, honestly, even back in, like, January and February this year, like, I was having, like, just, you know, me slowly getting out of the house and meeting up with people I haven't seen in a while. And we were talking, like, even like back in January and February, like we weren't sure like when music was come back. So it wasn't really till about like May that I started like hearing, oh, shows are gonna start popping up here in June, shows are gonna start popping up here in September, and so on and so forth and stuff like that. So so it was really not really until around like March or April that I was starting to hear like, yeah, full touring's gonna start in the fall, and then, you know, venues are gonna start slowly opening back up in the summer, in the June and July months and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, cool. Because honestly, like, again, like back in those months, I thought it was going to be like maybe August or September that things would start coming back. And even then, it'd be the slow, like, half capacity, you know, smaller band sort of stuff. But things really started to pick up a lot quicker than I originally anticipated, especially starting off this year and everything like that. So it's honestly been kind of a blessing just to like be able to go back and go back to attending shows and seeing live performances and stuff like that. Cause like for me, that's kind of where it all started and everything like that, just going to shows and stuff like that. And, you know, really in the Warped Tour sort of rock community and stuff like that, you know, your Data Remembers and your Mice and Men's and your Bring With Horizons and all that kind of stuff. That's where it started for me. So really just like, you know, it was my main hobby, and by not having it for a whole like year plus and everything last year, it was definitely like, what am I going to do in my spare time? So it's definitely been a blessing to like have it all, you know, sort of like come back, and, you know, everything seems to be full steam ahead, at least for the time being. So, you know, definitely can't be complaining about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause after the shutdown in March of last year, you know, a lot of us were on that whole, oh, this isn't going to last long. We'll be back to normal by May.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
June
exactly.
Rolled around, rolled around.
Yep.
Now today's finally here.
Yeah, because like it's always been like the show must go on, the show must go on, rain or shine, the show must go on. And like, you know, I never would have thought like a virus or anything like that would cause a complete shutdown of an entire industry. So it was definitely just like shocking, and just like, it took me months and months to even like process like how that even happened. So, you know, it's definitely really nice that at least as far as like Georgia's concerned, that things are really starting to like, you know, kind of pick back up, sing, you know, with festivals and larger cap venue shows, and as well as smaller cap venue shows, and even like house shows and outdoor stuff and stuff like that. It's really cool to see like this new sort of like newfound demand and newfound like variety for like live music and everything. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I know there's a couple of them out there that have they've already postponed out to 2022, like some of the big headlining acts.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of them are waiting until then, but yeah. It's so, you know, it works out for them because, like, you know, obviously those artists are going to have, like, the biggest turnouts and stuff like that. Yeah. They're the ones performing, like, amphitheaters and baseball stadiums and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it makes dreams and, like, the little, like, performances and private stuff that they're probably doing with, you know, sort of the things that the larger artists, you know, have the opportunities to do and everything like that. So, you know, they sort of have, like, the more, like, leeway or luxury to actually bring that mass amount of people together and everything like that. So
I wonder if some of those bigger bands that are waiting, I wonder if they have like a catalog, because you know they've had to have been writing. Yeah. I wonder.
Release, and it's been teased and teased for like years at this point, I feel like. And but you know, like, he can get away with that because like he's basically ascended beyond like just music artistry. He's like his own like entity right now. He's you know, just exceeded to a whole new level of like what it is. So he can get away with, you know, just waiting and teasing and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, maybe an artist maybe like three or four step notches below him are more on like a time crunch to like, you know, get something out because they need to maintain that relevancy and stuff like that, you know, so.
Right. Because that's one thing that I've been, you know, I've been kind of hoping for and real hopeful of. Trauma brings out the best, like music-wise and creativity. Yeah. So I'm hoping these CDs and albums that these new releases are going to bring from our local Atlanteans,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they're going to be like really good.
Yeah, like absolutely. Really awesome, yeah.
Which I know they will be. But, you know, how far out can you release that? Whereas, you know, man, that was 3 years ago that happened. Or, you know, 2025, that was 5 years ago when the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. You know, and because even some big bands run into that where, you know, they release a song and it's like, what is that about? Oh, that was that thing that they did 10 years ago. Yeah, I guess it's still relevant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, for sure.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Out of the shows coming up, October, November, which one are you looking forward to most at the Masquerade?
Oh, let's see. Trying to think. A lot of the shows that I'm actually like going to are actually not like there. There's a couple of festivals they got in September coming up, so I'm going to like the Blue Ridge Rock Festival up in Danville, Virginia.
That one's gonna be awesome.
So that's one that's gonna be gone for a good bit to go to that one. So you know, that's gonna be a really cool thing. I got Furnace Fest in Alabama that I'm going to. That's gonna be really cool. And a lot of the bigger shows that like are happening at the Masquerade that I would be at are during those spans. So that's kind of why I'm struggling to think of like, you know, shows that I'm excited about, because like a lot of the big ones happen to be those weekends where I'm going to be out and about, you know, experiencing like other sort of music stuff. Let me try and think. Let me pull up the.
You're good. We can cut this. We can cut the dead air. No, man. I should have given you a warning. I know Stitched Up Heart is going to be freaking amazing.
Yeah, they would Butcher Babies. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at getting my tickets for that one. I want to go.
The Reckoning, Broken Mind.
Do what to do with this space. future, I know. But I'll find it's faulty blackness. It's always there. Keeps on reminding me I'll get nowhere. Why does everything go so sour? Why is it always in the darkest hour? Like we guitar in the color of flame. Swore I'd never ever come back again. Again, 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 again.
And we're back.
And we're back. Okay, yeah, yeah. So handful of ones that are coming up that, you know, that I'm really excited about. There's Knox Blues coming up September 22nd. That's a sold-out show. And that's, you know, they're one of my favorite heavy bands to, you know, get down to or whatever. Some of the craziest pits I've been into have involved a Knox Blues show, whether they're headlining or direct support or something like that. So, yeah, so, you know, they're always fun to see. My boy, one of my favorite bands, they're also kind of like Georgia Legends, is Microwave. They're performing in Hell on September 25th, so that's going to be a really fun show to be a part of. And then the following day after that is Lorna Shore. That actually has sold out twice now. So it was originally in Purgatory, sold out Purgatory, moved to Hell, sold out Hell, and now it's in the Big Room. And so, like, you know, we'll see if they end up selling out the Big Room. So that'll be pretty cool. And then, let's see, I mean, there's bands like Thrice that are coming through. There's bands like Dirty Honey and Cold on the more rock side coming through. More heavy bands like CU Space Cowboy.
Dude, I'd love to catch Dirty Honey, man. They are
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Yeah, no, they're that kind of like good, that solid, like, you know, really like just solid rock and roll, I guess, you know. So, you know, it's cool to see them sort of like come through over the years. You know, the first time they came through, I'm sure there was maybe like less than 100 people showing up. So I think they're in the Hell Room or something like that.
Nice.
So that'll be really cool. And but you know, and then there's a lot of like smaller bands coming up. So like, you know, the Cal Style Boys are gonna have a show coming up, and
love
then
those guys.
You know, all your classic bands like your We Came As Romans, your Atreyu, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the, you know, classic faces that, you know, have come through over the years and years will be coming through there as well. So it's nice that there's like a slam packed fall, considering a year ago like we had no idea where things were gonna be. So it's cool. It's cool and also just crazy to like reflect on like how fast things can change or whatever. So you know, and then there's you know, all the venues like across the state and city are gonna have like a full calendar show. So, you know, I was, you know, whenever I'm struggling like to think of, you know, bands to shows that are coming up, I'm just like, you know, best thing to do is just check out the schedule too, because like, you know, everyone also has different tastes in music as well. So like, you know, I'm a big rock and person. I like, you know, love my metal shows and all that kind of stuff, but you know me, and then but other people aren't like as open to other genres or whatever. They kind of have their couple bands or couple genres that they're really into. So, you know, it's easy just to like, you know, go through like all their, you know, social media and stuff like that, follow the all venues and stuff like that, and go to their websites, bookmark them, so that way whenever you're like, you know, chilling on your phone or at home or whatever, you can just kind of like, you know, check out to see what they got coming up.
Dude, I might be a little bit biased, but I think Atlanta has some of the best freaking venues.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hear about like the you know, like the classic venues like your Chain Reactions and your House of Blues and your
staples.
Stuff like that. But yeah, your Staples and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I definitely think Georgia has a really good variety of venues overall, you know, ranging from the Masquerade to Center Stage to Variety Playhouse to, you know, even the bigger venues. Like I've been to the Roxy multiple times and Buckhead Theater and Tabernacle and stuff like that. And all those, you know, all of them have their charms and all of them have their... you know, pluses and you know, good attributes about them too. So
yeah, and are you a Smiths fan?
Yeah, I mean, I am really for me, like, it's not it's more like the band that's performing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it doesn't matter where they're performing. If it's a band that I really like I'll travel really pretty much wherever as long as like there's not another show that I'm going to. So really for me, like, I'm not really like one of those people who's like a venue snob or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I can find everything to appreciate about any venue, and then obviously, like, you know, with any business or any venue and stuff like that, there can always be like room for improvement and stuff like that. But you know, for the most part, for me, it's really about the bands. Like, I've been to random backyards. I've been to different random warehouses and skate parks and different venues all across the state just to like see a band that I've been meaning to see for a while. So really, for me, the venue doesn't really play a big factor as far as like, you know, as far as like a show goes or me attending it goes.
Oh yeah. I was just gonna plug their burgers. They got killer burgers.
Hell yeah.
And enjoying a good metal show on a full stomach.
Oh yeah, no, that definitely helps for sure.
That is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what else have you got going on? I mean, I know you're like the main guy at the Masquerade, but there's more to you than that. What do you got going on?
Yeah, I mean,
man?
Well, I'm not the main guy. There's two National Talent buyers who like do all like the big shows and stuff like that, and I sort
of
get my opportunities.
Well, I haven't talked to them.
Here.
I've talked to you, and I've met you, and I've shook your hand.
Yeah, but I can't take all the credit. But you know, I just like being involved with the community. So like, you know, I have hundreds and hundreds of group chats with a bunch of different bands, you know, from all different genres and stuff like that, that I've just kind of built connections with and have, you know, kind of grown and booked over the years and stuff like that. So I talk with them because really like nowadays, like I've done a lot of like the booking and the putting on openers and national stuff like that. And I definitely intend to keep doing that. But also like really like I've kind of like switched the focus more on like helping the bands out because like I find myself connecting with musicians more than anyone else now. I like I admire their sort of like determination, ambition, like make their dream career come true and everything like that. So that's something that I've sort of like wanted to do for myself as far as the music industry goes. Like, you know, it's been a slow, long learning process and everything like that. But, you know, like I find myself again, like sort of relating and being drawn to and attracted to the, you know, sort of musicians, stuff like that, because they share some of the mindsets as far as like their work ethic, their determination, like wanting to make, you know, their own sort of path in life as opposed to following like a sort of more like cookie cutter, you know, sort of mold of, you know, how to go about life or whatever. So, so definitely, you know, I'm really just like more becoming more and more intrigued with like the development aspect, you know. So like I love meeting up with bands and stuff like that, and like having just like going to like a pizza place or coming to my place or going to their place and whatever, and just like talking and kind of seeing how they operate and stuff like that, and sort of seeing like where analyzing like what their intentions are as a band and stuff like that, because there's a lot to it, you know. Like when I first started getting into music industry, like I had no idea like how much there was to like the behind the scenes and the behind the, you know, the sort of like business was sort of like, you know, aspects on like how, how, what it takes and what it sort of takes to like be a band and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, like I'm not a musician myself, but for spending years and years of like more behind the scenes and sort of seeing like how show operates, how booking operates, what people sort of look for and what, you know, what bands sort of look for as well. I've sort of like being able to find this sort of middle ground between like, you know, not necessarily performing, but, you know, being around performances enough where I can, you know, sort of see like, okay, that can, you know, that can be improvement. That looks really good. I enjoyed that, you know, consider this, consider that, sort of thing like that. And then, a lot, you know, like, give him sort of like advice as far as like development, stuff like that. Cause like a lot of things I'll tell bands is like, you know, your main product is as a band is like your performance and stuff like that. So, one thing you want to do when you're growing is like when you are booking your shows and stuff like that, making sure there's enough time between each show, making sure like you're not getting stuck at the same venue all the time, performing with the same bands all the time.
Yeah.
Because And as a band, again, like your main product, I feel like, is your performance and stuff like that, and all of your, you know, all of your covers, all of your social media content, all of your photos, all of your music, and all of your albums, stuff like that, are really just like act as like advertisements and stuff like that in order to draw people to, you know, right. come to the show.
Because
like
if you're always with that same group of bands, people are gonna be like, well, it's probably gonna be the same show we saw the last four times they've been through.
Yeah, yeah, and like that's not even something that like you know, smaller, like, you know, local or independent bands have a problem with. Like, there's been plenty of tours where it's like the same sort of like three yeah. or four, like, you know, Warped Tour circuit community bands yeah. that are on the same tour, and then because the bands have been touring so much, it's the same like six songs they performed the last like three times they've been there. So, you know, that's not even like something that's like a really like a knock on like local bands per se. It's something that I've seen even on the national level oh, and stuff yeah. like that. So me, when I do shows and stuff like that, like, you know, granted, I only get really two or three opportunities a month to do a show anyways, mm-hmm. but, you know, I've sort of taken that to my advantage because, like, I was trying to do the whole, like, book a bunch of shows in a short period of time just to fill up a calendar or whatever, yeah. but for me, it kind of, like, got burnt out, and, you know, I wasn't able to be as hands-on with all the shows going on at once, right. and so, you know, the attendance were still okay. They were ranging from, like, 30, 40, 50, 60, but like, when I kind of stepped back and was only really doing about maybe one, two, three shows a month, I realized that I had about 1 or 2 months promote them, I realized the shows were doing like 150 and 200 and 300 oh, and stuff like that. And so I was like, yeah, I like this a lot more. I like having a ton of people on my shows and kind of spacing them out mm-hmm. more. So that's why I kind of set, you know, to take the more like promoter route. So like, you know, I'm very like hands-on with the shows and kind of stuff like that. So I've sort of taken those sort of like tactics or whatever and kind of like told bands like, hey, if you space out your shows and do like maybe like once a month in the city or maybe like once every other month in the city and sort of like use the time to like release a single or do like mm-hmm. a music video or just like engage with other people on social media or go to other shows and engage with other bands and people at those shows and stuff like that, you yeah. know, those sort of things like will build your following and make people want to be more attracted to you and listen to your music and want to come to your shows, so that way, you know, you're pulling, you know, 100 people plus every time as opposed to struggling to pull like 15-20 because you have so many and you have so many announced and you're trying to promote so many, people are going to just be like, oh, well, I'll come to the next one right. next one, and there never is a next one, you yep. know. We would love to believe that, you know, people will come to every show, but unfortunately not mm-hmm. everyone is like that, and so you got to like sort of cater to the more general public sort of mindset for it and make it seem like your shows are more like you know, like a UFC title fight, like your yeah. Super Bowl or something like that, so like the big grand event wow. that you know, that people don't want to miss,
right?
Yeah. And then the trick is like, you know, you also want to like, if you do like have shows planned up after one show, you wait until that one passes, so that way you know, you're not promoting two of at the same time or whatever right. like that. You know, it's like that you make it seem like it's the like a big event, and then when that mm-hmm. one's passed, then you go to the next one yep. or whatever, you know.
I know there's a couple of venues, I don't know if you guys did them this way, but there were a couple of venues back when I used to do the whole promotion and booking and trying to do all that. That is a lot of work.
It
that is.
Is
a lot
yeah,
of work.
It
I
is.
Am so glad I'm focusing only on the mosh pit now.
The Mosh Pit is still looking for unsigned and indie artists to submit music to be featured on the podcast. You can submit your music at the Mosh Pit at StereoSoundRecords.com. All submissions are welcome. You can also submit topic ideas if you want us to talk about a particular subject.
1 minute shy. My enemy.
Thank you.
few venues that I'd reach out to, and they would look up the band, and they would pull their entire range of shows and be like, okay, well, they've got a show the week after, you know, 15 miles from here. That's too close. Be like, you yeah. know, you can't do a show. Like, if you're, let's just say the Masquerade, just because you're here.
Sure.
You do a show at the Masquerade. You're trying to book there. A week before, you're playing Smith's, and a week after, you're playing, what, I don't know, the Tabernacle. Is the Tabernacle still around?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, good. Just making sure I'm, you know, being relevant.
No, totally.
You know, they're going to look at that, and they're going to go, no, you've got two shows that are too close to us, so we're not going to book you for that. We'll book you 6 months from now.
Right.
And it's like, whoa. You know, that was a real eye-opener for me, which it makes sense because, you know, it is that title fight, that WrestleMania moment of you're playing here, let's make that a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I don't get that like peculiar about it as far as like the digging the whole schedule and like doing all the measurements and miles and stuff like that. But you know, like I do ask like what's your schedule kind of coming up, and if it's like, you know, if you have just like, you know, it's, and so I sort of like, you know, I do ask for like what kind of shows you have coming up, and usually if it's like, you know, usually if it's clear, it's a lot easier for me to like, you know, find something that will, you know, fit, because then you'll have like the time to, yeah, you know, prepare for it. So even when it comes to the thing that like is like the easiest for musicians, that's like the performing part, because like the musicians, that's in their blood, you know, obviously they got to rehearse for it and everything like that, but they are musicians. That's sort of like their game day. That's sort of like what's going to come the most natural is the performing stuff like that. There's even like so many like dynamics to like the promoting stuff like that, because like you are a small band. You do have to like remind everyone and everyone, because like unfortunately the general public is very flaky and very just like, you know, kind of indecisive and up in the air. So sometimes you really got to like, even like with your closest fans and friends and stuff like that, sometimes you really got to like shove it down their throat and come up with clever ways to like make your show different and how to top it and how to continue the growth or whatever. Because like, you know, if you're, because when it comes to shows, like that's usually the night where, you know, you usually get your biggest payouts, you usually get your biggest like social media boost and following, you're usually your biggest boost in like social media interaction, stuff like that. So really, and because really like if no one's coming to your shows and stuff like that, it's almost like, you know, the show never really happened. And then like if your main product of like, you know, is considered not necessarily happening because like no one's there to like document or talk about it, then like, you know, you're really just going to be hitting a wall and stuff like that. So there's definitely a lot, like, you know, even with like performing and stuff like that, there's a lot of things to consider. And then like outside of performing, there's even more to consider, like, you know, you know, stuff like even revolving like, you know, merch and updating gear and balancing your regular job and stuff like that, because like more times than not, like a musician has another job, because, you know, that's usually like the steady income. But the thing is, like, you got to be able to balance all the other like life stuff and, you know, be able to, you know, balance everything, so that way you can all funnel all of the other priorities and stuff like that into the band and stuff like that. Because, you know, definitely one thing I do see a lot of that kind of like, will be the, you know, and downfall of a band is just like lack of motivation, stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely like, you know, there's definitely a lot to like consider and stuff like that to like being a band, you know. Also another things to consider is just, you know, like making sure you and the band members are still like cool and stuff like that, because again, like, you know, mental health is a thing like that, life gets crazy. So, you know, I tell bands, you know, like, you know, it's always a good idea to like take a step back and separate from a little bit, you know, like go like on a band trip together, like go on a hike together, like have dinner together and just talk about like other things, so that way, you know, all of y'all are still good together, but you know, you guys also can like take a step back and, you know, clear your mind and get that mental health like back up where it needs to be and everything like that. So being able to take care of yourself while, you know, maintaining the band and maintaining your job or school or wife or kids or whatever other things you may have in your life going on are definitely going to be like also things to consider, because like it is definitely like a difficult job being in a band and being a musician. It's, you know, it's a very underappreciated and overlooked sort of job, even though it is in the entertainment industry and stuff like that. So, you know, it's important to just like have that sort of balance and everything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's with every walk of life too. You've got to balance out work, life, home, even fun. Like, you can, you know, people say it all the time, but you can have too much fun. You know, this podcast is a lot of fun when things go right. When I'm wading water down here at waist deep, it is not fun.
No, not at all.
But Yeah, man. Dude, I appreciate you coming out and hanging out with me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we already out of time? Like, are we out of time already?
No, I just didn't know if you knew anywhere to go.
No, not at all. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good to chill. Going. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah. So, the whole, like, music industry is, like, a whole, like, you know, whole beast of a different thing. Like, it's completely different from, like, your normal corporate jobs, or even like food industry or like landscape and stuff. Like, it's whole like beast. So like, you know, I really had no idea like all the things that like came into it. So it's definitely been like a crazy, you know, journey trying to learn like all the different things about it. So
you're good, man. Like I said, I just wanted to pick your brain on a few things. I'll get away from all that, but, yeah. So what else you got coming up? What you got, what are your big plans for?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like what I do is like, you know, on top of like, you know, kind of developing bands and discovering new bands and stuff like that, and trying to see like who I can like sort of bring the table, see what I can bring to their table and everything like that. Like, you know, I would love to be a tour manager and stuff like that. So, kind of being the person, you know, responsible for like the being in charge of the tour and stuff like that, making sure things are going smoothly, and making sure the bands are getting settled and making sure they're getting to destination on time and stuff like that. So, and you know, like for me, like, you know, I'm 27 and still young and still trying to like and single and don't really have anything like, you know, sort of like holding me back or whatever. So I think you know, sort of like as I'm going on my own sort of like growth journey as an individual and as a young adult or whatever, like I think it'd be cool to like be able to travel around the country and but while also, you know, kind of working and stuff like that, because I will be working when I do go on tour. Like, I do plan on like being an asset and helping with all the sort of things that go with it. But I think it'd be cool to like, you know, sort of like explore different cities and different states and stuff like that. I have done a good bit of traveling. I have been privileged enough to like see a bunch of states and go see a bunch of different landmarks and stuff like that. But it would be cool now that I'm like older and have like a sort of like my own sort of like perspective now to see like other cities and other states. And, you know, maybe like if I do happen to be in a city one day or a state one day and it happens to like, you know, feel more homely, it'd be something for me to consider, you know, further branching out and seeing how like I can impact other music communities and stuff like that. Really, right now it's more like that's more like a fantasy, more like a hypothesized sort of thing I have in my brain. But you know, like because there's nothing really like holding me back anywhere, or like, you know, really anything that's like keeping me chained to like one specific spot. I think, you know, again, like being on the road around music, something that I enjoy doing while working, but also being able to see different environments and experience different communities and stuff like that could really like sort of give me more. Direct idea of like kind of where I want to go and who I want to help and who I want to get linked up with and stuff like that, you know. So you know, I definitely think like everything that I've sort of done in the past 6-7 years, like working in the industry with working with bands, promoting and doing hospitality and doing some merch stuff and all these other random ideas and crazy ideas that I've had over the past year, I'm, you know, will hopefully sort of flourish and sort of like bring me to the next sort of like big chapter of, you know, sort of like my story of my life or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool, you know, like the music industry, like really like has like always made sense to me ever since I started, and especially since from the time I like booked my first show and seeing that come together and like have all my friends there at the time and really see that again, like being hands on from that to start to finish and seeing it like come to life, I was like, yeah, the whole music industry thing makes sense. Like I'm in it to win it. So you know, I definitely have like, you know, it's always made sense to me, and I've definitely sort of like got a good number of the things down, but I'm definitely always trying to like branch out and learn maybe more like, you know, like in distribution or learn about marketing or learn about, you know, sort of more social media stuff, you know, there's tons of different aspects and stuff like that, and just sort of like growing connections, because like it's such a wide open industry that like really anyone can get involved. Like, you know, if you're like an artist, like with like, you know, just digital art or paint or whatever, like you can be someone who like, you know, creates logos or creates t-shirts or album covers and stuff like that. So like there's room for that. If you're like an attorney, you can be like in music law and help with LLCs, or if there's any like, you know, in the higher up levels, maybe some like corporate cases, like contracts or contract, you know, conflicts or whatever, you know, like you could be, you can use your attorney skills in order to help out bands and help out record labels and help out agents and sort of that thing.
Yeah, kind of a mediary.
Yeah, yeah. If you're an architect, you can be someone who like designs venues and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Be the one who makes the blueprints and makes the whole like, you know, exterior sort of whatever look at the venue and stuff like that. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you're obviously there's stuff for like food service workers, so like, you know, bartenders and bar backs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get like involved with that. There's the whole like box office side of it. So like doing a ticket master and ticket fly and being the person who like, you know, communicates with those companies and stuff like that. So like there's so many. And then another thing, I'm keeping thinking of new examples and stuff like that. So like audio engineers and stuff like that. You know, there's a huge demand for audio and engineers and stuff like that. So if you're ever into like wanting to get into like front of house or making a band sound good live, because honestly, when you think about it, the front of house people and the people running the sound are just as important to a live performance as the band themselves. You know, you can have the best band, sounding band in the entire world, the most talented band in the world, but like if the sound system sucks or if the front of man is like not doing what they're supposed to,
like the sound guy can make or break a
show. Exactly.
And another piece of advice to all you bands listening, don't get on the sound guy's bad side.
No,
he will make you sound bad, and it will be your fault.
especially back in the day, they're definitely more like peculiar, and definitely want to get on their bad side. But luckily, a lot of sound people I know are very like, you know, very easygoing and very like good at what they do and stuff like that. But definitely having like a good sound engineer, like you said, will make or break a show. Like no matter how good or talented that the band on stage may be. So
we went to a show up in Rome, and I mean this venue wasn't no bigger than a studio. And the sound guy sucked. I'm just going to say it. Sound guy sucked.
Yeah, totally.
Because then we went to another show in Rome. It was another venue about the same size as this, but a little bit narrower. So it was long. Sound guy made it sound like we were outside. I mean, made it sound like the place was freaking huge.
Yeah, totally.
And I was like, wow, that's the difference in a sound guy. Don't piss your sound guy off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Live Lowe's, the purest black.
Through the force. Ah!